Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710, SAR 711 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. So, you've been kind of hearing about the medical examiner's office for maybe a year now or so, as they've been, and really longer ago than that, because they've been talking about needing a new facility. And the four counties trying to figure out what to do with it and where to put it and how to fund it and all that has been a hot mess, frankly. And, you know, Escambia County has really dragged its feet and really kind of played, you know, pissy, annoying, we want our way kind of, you know, petulant child about all this. And I thought, well, okay, we probably ought to see for ourselves, you know, because let's see what they do. Let's learn about it. Let's see the facility and see if I can, you know, convey it a little bit better to you. So Candy and I yesterday did what I can only describe as we experienced a life-altering couple hours. I can't describe to you what I saw. I mean, I could do it in words, but I'm not going to. We went to the medical examiner's office. We saw the office facility, okay, which is fine. Lovely, wonderful, bubbly investigators and people there who are, you know, just doing their stuff. And, you know, the job of the medical examiner's office is to figure out why somebody died. Like, that's their job, is to figure out why somebody died. Was it natural? Was it not natural? Either way, what was the exact cause? Is there stuff we can learn here? You know, and particularly if there's crimes, but that's not all they deal with. Okay, they deal with all kinds of other things as well. And so we saw the office, and that was fine. Okay, and then we went over to Sacred Heart, and it's like backseat middle on the hump, bottom back door, barely has enough parking for anything. Like, it's
very... Yeah, we had to ride over together in one truck.
Yeah, because there's no parking.
Five of us, yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah, there's not even parking.
We get there and we wander through this maze of half thrown together office space, you know, to try to get into where eventually we're into the facility itself. And they basically, they said, okay, Andrew, you know, did you eat? Oh, yeah, you told me to eat, so I ate. Just be prepared. We can't prepare you, but be prepared. I'm like, okay, I don't know what to expect. I've seen some TV shows. Like, it's not going to be like that. And I said, okay, fine. So we walk in, and oh, my God. Like, most people never see dead bodies.
Yes, I would imagine that so.
And this is pretty gross, but most people never smell dead bodies, okay? I will never... ever forget this smell. I was having smell flashbacks all day yesterday and even today, like, still. And Candy, you've been around this before. You studied to be a funeral director.
That's right. I studied to be a funeral director. I wanted to go into pathology because I loved a TV show called Quincy. So
I grew up watching Quincy.
Quincy show, right. Yeah. You do. You want to solve crimes and you want to do this. And I thought I could do funeral directing to supplement my medical school. And so death is static to me too, like it is to these people.
It's just a fact.
Right. So I've seen before, but oh my God, never to that capacity. And the fact that they have to share that with the morgue.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's not like people see it on TV and you have a completely,
and
not talking about the smell
very,
and the look.
It's this very sanitary, high-end, glossy kind of situation. And we walk in here and it's...
You know, bright, like, it's a bunch of surgical techs that are examining and investigating these bodies.
Right,
and
so you have a bunch of, you know, naked, dead people laid out with various kinds of trauma and wounds. And
A lot.
Like 10, okay?
Minimum.
And they have three areas where they're doing the autopsies, okay, three workspaces.
Like bays, right.
And I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. And it was... I saw more in one day of horrific things than I hope to ever see again in my life. And, you know, you think, well, I've seen horror movies and I've seen, you know, Bones and I've seen,
right.
And it's just different when it's real people, real life, and seeing it in front of you. And again, the smell, I cannot possibly communicate to you how powerful that is. And so, you know, and they're like, are you okay? And I'm fine, you know. And in fact, afterwards, found out that that was like an extra bad day, you know, for their average. But even
that was
afterwards,
a higher
I
was than average
higher
Tuesday.
Than average.
They didn't say it was a bad day. They said Monday was worse because Monday you get all the bodies from the weekends.
Right, because they don't work on the weekends,
right.
Okay? So, and they're just checking up with me, and I was texting back and forth with the medical examiner, Deanna Oleski, last night, and she's like,
you
guys did amazing. Like, most people pass out or get sick at, you know, because it's hard. And she said our office staff was all like amazed that you guys both handled it so well. And I'm like, well, I handled it. You know, I don't know about well. But okay, but the reason I'm telling you all this is vital work that these folks are doing. I mean, this is essential, like figuring out what happened to your loved ones, figuring out what happened at the crime scene, figuring out, like, they're investigators, you know, they're detectives who are going in there for the purposes of, you know, medical examination. And then if there's crimes, building cases and evidence in order to convict people of a homicide, or to figure out that it was a suicide, or to figure out that it was a suicide that looks like a homicide, or a homicide that looked like a suicide because it was made to look like that, or it's a drug overdose. No, it's a murder that was made to look like a drug overdose, which is not that rare, unfortunately. That does happen. And all of the reasons that people die, it's just, and then to see the condition they have to work in, that's what I found so offensive, is because this work that I didn't really understand that well before and now have a whole new level of respect for, to see the condition of the facility, that it is clearly overjammed with the work they have to do, that there's not enough space, and that the space they do have is not of the quality you want. I mean, I'm going to have some videos to share. It will not be of anything that's you cannot photograph or video corpses or anything like that, and I wouldn't anyway. It's so, I mean, all the taboos that you have about bodies and nudity and just all of that stuff, it's very difficult for a layman to kind of walk into that environment and then experience it, and we did. And all I'm telling you is that if these folks say they need something, and the county commissioners, particularly in Escambia County, two of whom have not even been to the facility, Lumen May and Stephen Berry, two of whom have been to the facility, but only for, like, when it's not doing autopsies, Jeff Bergosh and Robert Bender, and one of whom who's done autopsies himself, Mike Kohler. So Mike Kohler is the one who says, oh, they need a new facility. They are clearly overworked in that facility. That facility is not adequate to the task, and we should definitely support them moving to a new one. So he's the one kind of against the four that's saying that, and he's the only one that really knows what he's talking about. Period. I mean, period. He knows. He's saying what should be done, and the other four, two who have seen but not autopsies and two who haven't seen at all, are like, well, I don't really know if it's all that bad. Dude, you need to go and see what I saw. I'm telling you.
It's that bad. And I used to work, like, kind of in that, not that profession. I don't even mean to put myself like that, but I've seen it, and it was awful.
So, just again, crucial work that they do, crucial that they get the right support that they need because they are law enforcement. They build cases, they testify in cases, they help convict people. And if they can't do their job properly, that's deaths that don't go properly investigated and cases that don't get made and murderers that go free. I mean, that's it. A little bit more on this in a second. Sorry, I'm super late to traffic. Go ahead, Candy.
All right. Now, it looks like the accident at Palafox and Fairfield has been cleaned up. Still slow at the front gate for NAS. Get backed up past Gulf Beach Highway now. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for your no-hassle estimate. Traffic tips, 437-1620. Text them in. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And by the way, I was angry before at Stephen Berry for coordinating these exaggerated claims by these funeral directors to write letters to his office rather than to the medical examiner's board in the state, which would have been the right authority, and then to somehow or other shuffle these letters over to Jeff Bergosh, who publishes them on his blog, and, you know, to make this public spectacle of embarrassing the medical examiner and ruining, trashing her reputation over these exaggerated and or fabricated claims. Like, they've all kind of walked this back now after we did the interview, or, well, because one of them did, kudos to him, and then the others afterwards. I'm angrier than ever that he would do this to that office, to these people who are public servants and essential law enforcement officers. And, you know, like, I mean, they carry badges. Like, they're law enforcement officers, okay? Officers of the court. And then to imagine that because of this defamation against her and her office, now it's possible that when she goes to testify, you know, defense lawyers can say, you know, well, I mean, did you see these articles? can you really trust that test? I mean, do you realize, like, that's the implication here. And I know, look, the state attorney is not investigating at this moment, though they've been asked to. They say no crime has been committed that they've known yet. FDLE says no crime yet that they know of. So there's no active investigation. But there's a big records request that's been put in for all kinds of stuff related to this and the Escambia County Commission regarding Jeff Burgosh and Stephen Berry and like all their search history and any communication they have related to the medical examiner's office. And we'll see what comes of it. But what I thought before was just shady and petulant, particularly of Stephen Berry getting his feelings hurt, that she tried to explain to them how bad it was by, well, he won't come to see what they do, so we'll bring people to your county commission meeting and we'll tell you how bad it is. And then his reaction to that is not, oh, well, my bad, I should probably do something about this. His reaction is a couple of months later to, you know, kind of concoct this scheme to make her look terrible in public with these funeral director's letters. Like, dude, dude, what are you doing? You are so wrong. This is so misguided. And to have somebody harmed that is so essential to a key law enforcement function in these four counties, it's just, I mean, I was angry before. I'm furious. I have to always be cautious. Sometimes I go on the air and I can get a little, my emotion get away with me, but I cannot describe it to you. These are extraordinarily capable people, the ones that I met yesterday, and I'm very, very frustrated. So I don't know whether there's going to be an investigation, or I don't know whether there will be a law enforcement investigation. I don't know if a crime has been committed. I don't know if there's an ethics complaint. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe nothing. Maybe nothing comes of it, but that would be a shame if nothing comes of it. 721 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are 64 turning 65, I'm not, but when I am, I will call Ricky Stewart because she is fantastic at helping people transition from being on regular health insurance like most of us have for most of our lives over onto Medicare. Okay, and it can feel like a, you know, it's going to be a big deal because you're not used to it. And you have questions like, what supplement, what's Advantage, what's Medicaid, which applies to me, how do I do this? People are probably going to be calling you because I know they call people and they send them letters and you can feel like, ah, well, you don't have to do that. Just relax. Call Ricky Stewart. She's fabulous. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one slice that she does. I've known her as long as we've lived here. 341-2185 for Ricky Stewart Insurance.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's,
and 23 AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the golden rule given to us in Scripture is given in the context of prayer? Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12 gives us the golden rule. The Bible there says, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." Just previous to this verse in Matthew 7 are instructions that we are to ask, seek, and knock through prayer, and the Lord will provide good things. So understanding that the golden rule is given in the context of prayer, the question is, do you pray for others like you would want them to pray for you? Are you in a situation where you need God to provide for you in a huge way? I suggest that you not only ask, seek, and knock for your needs, but that you ask, seek, and knock for the needs of others, and then marvel at how God not only meets their needs, but yours as well.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Who loves you, baby? You're beautiful.
Pardon me. Where did that come from? Good morning, 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the five.
All right. Backed up right now at the front gate, backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Very slow moving this morning. I'm just double checking that. It looks like it may have cleared up just a little bit. So caution there, and caution certainly wherever you are. Palafox and Fairfield, that accident has been cleaned up. And the gate, there's a prescribed burn at Eglin Air Force Base near that gate. That's causing visibility issues. 437-1620. Do you have traffic tips? News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Very good. If you, listen, if you've not been to Pensacola Hardware, just go. I mean, just go. Like, seriously, it's just kind of like, I don't know, adult, you know, Candyland toys.
Disneyland, all,
yeah. Yeah, like, it's just, you know, even, like, one little thing. Okay, you go in the front, and it's a housewares area. And they've got, like, you know, gumbo pots, and they've got grills, and they've got Yeti, like, all kinds of Yeti stuff. And they've got SEC merchandise. And then as you kind of wander around the store, you're like, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. You know, like, it's, you've never been to a real hardware store. Not one like this. It's been, you know, for, 172 years? Since 1851 they've been around. And the kind of place, like, you know, a guy will remember that his dad took him there, and a dad will remember that his grandfather took him there. Like, that kind of a place in Pensacola. So just trust me. Just go one time for an experience. For no other reason. Just go for an experience and then be like, oh, yeah, I get it now. Okay. So right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware. 727, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Florida officials defending the state's role in sending migrants to California. The Division of Emergency Management did confirm that it's responsible for two flights that carried dozens of people from Texas to Sacramento this week. The Florida official says that the people who boarded those flights did so voluntarily. The UN says 40,000 people are at risk of being flooded after the dam collapse in southern Ukraine. Ukraine says Russia committed a war crime by blowing the dam up. Russia says Ukraine did it to create a distraction. And the Perry Mason reboot on HBO getting canceled after two seasons. HBO says they have not renewed it for a third season. The show earned four Emmy nominations its first year and is expected to earn more nominations for season two.
Love that show growing up. Such a classic. I realize, you know, we don't really watch a lot of, David, thanks for the update. We don't watch a lot of like crime, you know, type shows. My wife doesn't like gore and stuff like that, and I don't particularly care one way or the other. But especially because they're so gory these days. But yeah, growing up, you know, Charlie Chan and Agatha Christie and, you know, Murder, She Wrote. I mean, just all of that stuff. Candy, I failed you. I meant to ask at the end of the last segment if there's anything you wanted to add, because you bring different eyes to this because you trained to be a funeral director. But is there anything I didn't mention that you wanted to amplify or any?
I'll just say, like, death. Dr. Dean Oleski said this. She said, bodies don't bother me because death is static to me. And I get that, because you get that when you're working in that environment. But to just watch all these surgical techs, I don't know what they're not all right. Medical examiners, but just performing these investigations on the body, that smell is something. I mean, it's not even funny, but
it's
the worst.
Pungent
and the fact
in a
that
way
it's,
you can't explain.
Right. It's certainly better ventilation. And if there was a different building, right. I can't think that wouldn't help.
And for example, you might think, well, why is that relevant other than just the fact of it? Well, okay, because in the current situation, if they've got to bring a family in to do an identification,
you're going to smell it. It's like smelling a squirrel in the wall times 1,000.
Yeah, and the observation room is not really an observation room because it's so crowded.
Yeah, and that's outside of the room.
And you smell it, and you're just in the office area a little bit when you come in, and it's just, it's not conducive to good public relations or good servicing of the families in that way. And then, you know,
they
just
have issues with the floors,
right? And they want to have five workstations instead of three, and they want to have a plus one that's going to be a negative pressure for when they're working on anything that might be contagious, which obviously makes sense that they don't really have that kind of a facility now to work on, you know, like COVID deaths and things like this. So, anyway, I'm with you. It's amazing. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. If you got plumbing issues, leak, drip, weird sound on the wall, you know, you flush the toilet and weird sounds come out the wall, or the pressure or the temperature is not right, Barbary Plumbing, they'll take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Mayor D.C. Ree. He's got a bunch of things, as always, to talk about with him. And we'll have a little bit of fun in the lightning round as well. David Wayne, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Woman now facing drug trafficking charges after a traffic stop yesterday. We'll tell you more about that right after Fox News.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Two more Republicans joined the presidential race, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and former Vice President Mike Pence, with a video announcement this morning.
God is not done with America yet. And together, we can bring this country back. And the best days for the greatest nation on earth are yet to come. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announced his campaign yesterday. Pope Francis is hospitalized in Rome for abdominal surgery.
It's 2 years since he had 13 inches of his colon removed because of an inflammation. The Vatican says he's suffering from a recurrent, painful and worsening constriction. The pontiff was seen to be in good spirits at his Wednesday morning general audience in St. Peter's Square.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The pope is 86 years old now. He was elected pope 10 years ago. Stock futures are mixed, pretty much flat ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 72 degrees, partly cloudy here in Pensacola right now. A Pensacola woman now facing drug trafficking charges after a traffic stop yesterday. 44-year-old Amanda Rutherford was pulled over on Tuesday afternoon on Palafox Street. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says she was charged with trafficking methamphetamine in possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the decision to place two city leaders on administrative leave simply a case of wanting to move in a new direction.
The administrative leave was a procedural element of being presented with releases, and it's limited to that. I want to be, again, out of respect for them, I want to clarify there is nothing that has happened that put them on administrative leave that was below board or unethical.
Late last month, Neighborhoods Administrator Lawrence Powell and Parks and Rec Director Adrian Stills were both placed on administrative leave. Reeves says they were both presented with release offers and had 21 days to respond. Stills still hasn't done that. Powell has resigned at this point. A bill that'll bring mandatory safety inspections to high-rise buildings here in the state of Florida, due to be signed any day now by Governor Ron DeSantis. That legislation, coming in the aftermath of the collapse of the Champlain Towers near Miami, requires that condos and high-rise buildings over three stories tall be inspected once they reach 30 years.
To have these inspections and to possibly prevent that from happening, obviously, you know, there's some problems that you may not be able to see that aren't, you're not able to detect.
Escambia County Building Services Director Tim Tolbert talked with Channel 3, and he says that after that, further inspections would be required every 10 years. A group of mothers based in Florida, now being called an anti-government extremist group. That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center said yesterday about the group Moms for Liberty. The SPLC says that Moms for Liberty fuels right-wing hysteria and makes the world a less comfortable or safe place. The SPLC criticizing Moms for Liberty for what they called an effort to remove books from school libraries. A cantonment man facing charges for armed vehicle burglary and stealing a credit card. 28-year-old Sundown Brown was arrested after a report of a suspicious person on Melanie Drive off of Highway 29. And deputies say when they located Brown, he reached into his waistband and then was detained. When deputies searched him, they say they found a knife and also a credit card taken from a nearby vehicle. Brown taken to the Escambia County Jail, where he was being held on $17,000 bond. More Floridians could soon qualify for a new program designed to protect homes from hurricane-force winds. Governor DeSantis recently signing legislation to add $100 million to the My Safe Florida Home grant program. Now, this program would expand services for communities statewide starting next month. Homeowners would be able to apply for up to $10,000 towards replacing their roof, garage door, or windows, and with the expansion, the program will be able to fund an additional 10,000 residents and recipients of the program. Applications are available online at mysafeflhome.com. It is 735, News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
It's brought to you by New South Window Solutions, and we're not showing any accidents, but we are showing a slowdown at the front gate. It was backed up past Gulf Beach Highway this morning as you're trying to make your way onto the base, and it looks like it's backed up even further than that on New Warrington. It's backed up into New Warrington, and then, of course, onto Gulf Beach Highway as well. So very slow getting into the front gate this morning for Pensacola NAS. It looks like the back gate, which was running slow, is now running smoother. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a beautiful day today with a chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms, temperatures warming up into the mid-80s. As we head overnight, we're going to be staying warm with temperatures dropping into the 70s. Pattern continues as you go into your Thursday, temperatures warming up slightly into the upper 80s, chance of an afternoon shower or a thunderstorm, overnight temperatures dropping back in the 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
72 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 8 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Blaming a data retention glitch for the issue, Microsoft has agreed to pay $20 million to settle a Federal Trade Commission claim the company illegally collected data from children who signed up to use its Xbox gaming system. The FTC says the tech giant required anybody using the Xbox Live service to register with a name, email address, and age information. But even when the company was aware of users under the age of 13, it continued to collect and retain data. That's a violation of kids' online privacy law. Mortgage rates have backed off their recent highs, but it's not been enough to restart demand. New data from the Mortgage Bankers Association shows total application volume fell 1.5% last week, the fourth straight week with a decline. The average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was 6.81%, down 1/10. On Wall Street, futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
The welcome sign contest, we do have a winner selected. We were trying to get that up and going for you for this press conference today. We had a couple little final tweaks, but you should hear something no later than the end of this week announcing the winner and the sign. So really excited to get that unveiled.
Yeah, they've got the welcome sign figured out. We don't know what it is yet. They've got the three names for the street sweepers figured out, but they want to show. They've had that for like a week or two, but they want to have the wrap, so they want to have it all as a package deal to an unveil, if you will. Yeah, that's fine. Wasn't able to connect with DC. I don't know why. I gotta sneeze.
God bless you.
Wow. There will be a part two coming, I'm sure, here momentarily. I'm a double sneezer. You a double sneezer? Single sneezer. I'm always a double sneezer. Never
sneezer.
A single, never a triple, always a double. I don't know why. Anyway. Tried connecting with DC. He didn't call, didn't pick up, and didn't. I texted, so I don't know what's going on. But it happens sometimes. No big deal. So yesterday during his press conference, he was talking about the requested resignation of Adrian Stills, who is the Parks and Rec director, formerly the head of the Osceola Golf Course, and also of Lawrence Powell, neighborhoods coordinator. And I guess Kelsey Powell. I have no idea if they're related. I don't assume so. I mean, it's a common enough last name.
I don't think they are.
So I actually was in Leap with his wife, Stephanie. So, yeah, she's great. I don't know him. I don't think I've met him. But anyway, and he works, I think, at the Port. And so he was asked about this yesterday. And, you know, we had Charlie Pepler, the city attorney, was asked to resign recently. And, you know, we're, what, 6 months into the new administration or so, and you're going to make changes. Okay, that happens. What I think about this particular round of changes it has caught people's attention is the fact that they all happen to be black guys. Well, Charlie Pepler's a white guy. I mean, you know, like, don't jump to conclusions and, you know, don't make your assessment based on that. But, of course, you know, the mayor was asked about this, so he commented.
The administration doesn't take a stance of getting into details on personnel issues, but for a point of clarification, just want to let you know Lawrence and Adrian were presented with a release, and they have 21 days. It's a federal law. They have 21 days to consider that. While they're considering that, that is what's considered to be administrative leave.
Okay, so, you know, the terminology here is a little bit, but, you know, they weren't placed on leave for a reason, for cause. It's just that they're deciding to, you know, this sort of non-explanation if we're going to go a different direction is kind of what he was saying yesterday.
I'm not going to get into any details of who, what, why. But what I can tell you, out of respect for them, we're going in a different direction. I have a lot of respect for Adrian and Lawrence. And I think at the end of the day, you know, we have to make decisions about what we believe the best direction of the city is.
Yeah, and of course, absolutely denying that there's any kind of racial component to it, saying, you know, they're interested in diversity, and I have no reason to doubt that. I believe that based on everything I know about D.C. So I think that that premise, that implication is really off target. Oh, he just called. Great. D.C. Reeves is on the line with us now. Whoops. Oh, that's the oh, we got to give him the intro music, too. Oh, nicely done. All right.
Everybody gets the intro music.
we're down with the D.C. Reeves.
Right.
Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. We can't break tradition, I guess, with the music.
Sorry, that's right. So we were just talking about the Lawrence Powell and Kelsey Powell and Adrian Stills. And I know you have said that you're, you know, not prone to talk about personnel decisions, and you didn't with the, you know, Charlie Pepler. I guess what I would like to know, though, is this a case where you're planning to eliminate positions, or is this a case where the people who are in those positions need to be different people?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, let me clarify. Channel 3 had asked me about Kelsey Powell. He is not part of the same group in this case. I mean, Kelsey Powell is still employed.
Great.
They asked if that was going to be a change.
So I appreciate getting bad information. Okay, thank you for clarifying. Yes.
Yeah, and look, you know, first off, the reason we don't get into details of personnel decisions is a lot of times, as anybody who's been in business or anybody who's supervised knows, that sometimes you make decisions that you just think are in the best interest of that organization, that city, to move to different priorities. It may not be that there's something below board. It may not be that there's something unethical. And sometimes maybe they're in some relative subjective nature. So, you know, out of respect for these guys and out of respect for, you know, the organization, that's why we really don't get into a lot of details. But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really challenge our city or every department that when there's a change in employment in any, whether it's a firing, a resignation, or someone leaving for what they believe to be a better opportunity, in all of those scenarios, I think it's our duty to look at them, because they might be working off a job description that's 8-10 years old. I mean, and who's to say that a new skill set, a new objective isn't needed? So really, at not just at the department director level, we really challenge all our departments to say, you know, how should we reimagine this position to make it in the best interest of the taxpayer, the maximum value to the taxpayer, and to make sure we can run as efficiently and as optimally as possible. So, You know, that's my expectation always in every one of these jobs, no matter what. And sometimes there's a drastic change. Sometimes there's very little. Yet, are we considering eliminating some of these divisions? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And those are that's part of that analysis. So
okay.
We're going to do that with every position and really go from there.
And I have to assume that, you know, there's going to be a Parks and Recs director and there's going to be a city attorney, of course. But then, you know, right. that really be the neighborhood coordinator position that had been resurrected by Grover Robinson, that, you know, that's the one that you're assessing. I know we're just barely into our interview, but hang on for just a second, DC. Let's get a quick traffic from Candy.
Ed loved you on Channel 3 this morning. Not you, Andrew. You, Mayor.
I know who you meant.
Okay, traffic is backed up on Gulf Beach Highway at the NAS front gate. Now, it's backed up down Gulf Beach Highway, and it's backed up to Sunset on Gulf Beach Highway. I realize there's another Sunset as you're heading into the front gate. That's backed up, too. So both sides of the road of Sunset going into Gulf Beach Highway are backed up into at the NAS front gate. So pack your patience, 250-3756 for that no-hassle estimate from Executive Landscaping. They're big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, and by the way, I think I made another mistake. I think I was talking about Rebecca Ferguson when I mentioned, I should have said when I was talking about Kelsey Powell, because she's at the port, but she's part of the, she's one of the departures too, right? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And I just communicated it wrong. So I'm batting 0 for 2 this morning on that stuff. There's interesting stuff on the city council agenda next week that you and I have kind of been waiting to talk about. But now that it's actually on the agenda, I want to get into this a little bit. You are wanting to create an ordinance specifically related to food truck courts. Is that right?
That's correct. And so the gist of this, obviously, food, as everyone knows, they see food trucks around. That's allowed. What this is this is really formalizing a food truck zoning where you could have multiple food trucks on at a specific location. And the important thing to point out here is instead of being able to just use a vacant piece of property and, you know, put some rocks down and put a porta potty and have 3 or 4 trucks, this really formalizes, one, your ability to do something like that if you were a developer or a food truck owner. But secondly, is to make sure that, hey, it requires a permanent restroom. You know, it requires there's certain things that are required to make sure that this is a real investment, that this isn't just, you know, again, you know, pouring some rocks onto a vacant piece of property. You know, if we're going to have this as zoning, we want to make sure that this is a real investment by that person. So, you know, this would allow 3 or 4 food trucks and, you know, or more, and we are kind of behind the eight ball a little bit and with our neighboring cities, counties that do already have this zoning. So I really appreciate our staff that really was the instigator of this, coming and saying, hey, it's probably time for us to have this. And I agree. So I'm really excited to see that. Now, that's just the public hearing portion. First reading will be in July, and second reading will be in August. So it'll still be a couple months if it is approved by council before it's in place, but that process is beginning now.
I know we have the one down on Palafox in Maine, and then, of course, Santa Rosa County has a really thriving one over on 98 in Tiger Point vicinity. Are there people who are approaching you and trying to do this, or is this just you realizing that this is an opportunity that maybe the city can take advantage of that other places already allow?
Yeah, look, I've asked that. I think there's been inquiries generally before. This is, you know, we do our best. It's the same reason I'm looking into vertical height restrictions in downtown. I like to try to look at things that we think are good for the city at times where it's not necessarily one person or one individual one. That, you know, if it's good for the city, you know, then that's what should be our kind of navigational tool, right?
Sure.
So
if
I'm
you
not
create
aware
the zoning, the
personally.
Investors will come. Yeah, no, I get that. Makes sense, right?
Right. Instead of saying, hey, well, one person wants to add one floor, so we should change vertical height restriction. Even
right.
if we should change it, it's just, you know, that's not the order you want to do it, you know? And so we're trying to be proactive about these things. So I think there's certainly been inquiries. I think that's what's helped instigate, you know, our staff to look at this. But I have not had any discussions with any one person in particular about, you know, hey, we definitely want to do this at this location or anything like that. So,
got it.
But look, what do we hope? If we put it in, we hope people are going to want to do it pretty quickly.
Right.
I mean, if not, why would we do it? So.
All right, I'm going to make you unpopular for a moment, but the other issue on the agenda for next week is that you want to raise the rate of the parking at the Pensacola Airport in the garage from 11 to 13 a day, in the surface lot from 9 to 11 a day, and at the economy lot from 8 to 9 a day. Because of inflation, because of funding needs at the airport, or what?
Well, really, a couple things. Number one, you know, the first thing we're going to look at is data every time we look at this. And these increases, which have been a long time coming, have not increased in quite a while. These increases still put us in the middle of the pack of every surrounding airport. So we're not the highest, even after if these are approved, is number one. Number two, we have a lot of needs. I just had a meeting with the Secretary of FDOT at City Hall yesterday about, needing a $70 million airport terminal, as well as improvements already to parking. I mean, we're getting so much business. We're bursting at the seams. We're parking people out and in the lots, in grass lots on Tuesday, like they were yesterday. So yeah, I mean, no question about it. These are dollars that would be able to help with infrastructure, as well as, we got an escalator fix. We've got three baggage claims already back up online and in order. So, there's expense to that, no question. So, like you said, don't get me wrong. I never jump for joy whether it's airport parking or regular parking to do this. But, sometimes these are necessary things. And as I said, if this was something that was going to put us at the top of the market, around our area, it would have been a hard sell for me. But I think this just really gets us back into the middle of the pack. And if you go travel anywhere, $11 a day to park next to the terminal is a pretty darn good deal right now, and really has us under the market. We were talking to FDOT. They were mentioning that Orlando's $30 a day, to park this close. At the end of the day, these things are never fun, but they are necessary to continue to have operations the way we want them.
Okay, before we get to the lightning round, I just real quick want to confirm, I think you buried the lead. Did you just say that we were using the Grassy Knoll Overflow Thanksgiving parking lot on a just Tuesday in June?
Yesterday, there were people parking in the grass. I do know that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And my quick public service plug, I mentioned the press conferences. If you have flights coming up in the next 2 months and you're an hour and 5 minutes before the flight guy like I am, you have to get there earlier. We have all that TSA. It's out of our hands. This is TSA's equipment through security, but being updated throughout the summer. So I'm telling you, I know that people don't heed the 2 hour before warning most of the time, including me. There's definitely, if you've got flights in the next few weeks, especially during peak times, you really do need to heed that so you're not disappointed or you're not missing flights.
And as a pre-check holder yourself, do pre-check if you certainly can. All right. The lightning round. All right. First thing is a lot of the younger people, millennials and even younger, are actually going back from smartphones to flip phones or sliders. Would you ever consider going away from a smartphone?
Oh, no. I mean, now I probably have like my Razor flip phone somewhere in a drawer that if I did make an abrupt decision, I save all those things.
With your Mardi Gras babies.
With your Mardi Gras babies, right. It's a fantastic paperweight. That's right. Other than the Naval Aviation Museum, which is not a fair answer, or any of the other museums located in the city of Pensacola, what's your favorite museum anywhere?
Oh man, favorite museum anywhere. What I really loved is the Newseum in Washington D.C.
Oh yeah,
my newspaper guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good one.
That was in the heart of my journalism days. So maybe I would be more biased. I'm going to Washington D.C. a couple times this month, so maybe I'll change my mind when you ask me again.
And last thing, flip flops, slides, sandals, or Crocs.
Flip-flops, really none for me. I'm a Nike tennis shoe guy.
Beach?
I guess I would do flip-flops, given the option. Yeah.
You wear Nikes
at
the beach?
I know. I some kind of covered shoe. Maybe a slip-on, kind of a beach slip-on.
All right. We'll just move on from this awkward moment. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, we'll go shoe shopping.
Fair enough. Very good. 7:54, I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's be honest. Nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes for us? In Escambia County, they do. The millions who visit here spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay lower the tax burden for locals. visitor spending supports over 22,000 jobs, providing $638 million in local wages. Sure, being a tourism destination means we might have to wait a little longer for a restaurant table or park a little farther to get to our favorite shops. But it's a small price to pay when you consider the contributions those temporary visitors make to our permanent slice of paradise. So keep on welcoming visitors with our famous Southern hospitality and invite your friends and family to visit, because tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. And it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled?
Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingies.
Oh, man. I have so messed up our timing today.
I'll tell you real quick. The front gate is backed up at NAS. Yeah, backed up to Gulf Beach Highway and down Gulf Beach Highway to the other side of Sunset. 437-1620. Text in your traffic tips.
Thank you so much. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our quick headline. Sorry, David, to shove you up against the clock here. Our headline.
Singular.
An organization representing the families of 9/11 victims now speaking out against the PGA Tour merging with LIV Golf. The group 9/11 Families United says they are deeply offended by the merger and claims the PGA commissioner co-opted the 9/11 community last year when he spoke out against the Saudi-backed organization.
Yeah, this is a stunner to me. I read this news yesterday and thought, really? After the war, you know, that you were having? But then again, maybe it gives me hope that you could have a Trump DeSantis ticket. I mean, if the PGA can merge with LIV, maybe these two can make an awkward relationship into something, you know, less awkward. We'll be back.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.